Chapter 20. "This is getting awfully murky, Harry," Michael said, worry in his voice. "I don't like it." Snow crunched under our feet as we walked from the house to the workshop. The daylight was fading as a second front hit the city, darkening the skies with the promise of more snow. "I don't like it much either," I replied, but nobody came rushing up to present me with options. I stopped in the snow. "How's Murphy?" Michael paused beside me. "Charity's the one who's had actual medical training, but it seemed a simple enough injury to me. A bandage stopped the bleeding, and we cleaned the wound thoroughly. She should be careful to monitor her condition for the next few days, but I think she'll be all right." "How much pain is she in?" I asked. "Charity keeps some codeine on hand. It isn't as strong as the painkillers at a hospital, but it should let her sleep, at least." I grimaced and nodded. "I'm going to hunt up the Denarians, Michael." He took a deep breath. "You're going to attack them?" "I should," I said, a little more sharply than I meant to. "Because there are people who don't deserve a second chance, Michael. And if these losers don't qualify for the permanent shit list, I don't know who does." Michael gave me a small smile. "Everyone does, Harry." A little shiver went through me, but I didn't let it show on my face. I just rolled my eyes. "Right, right. Original sin, God's grace. I've heard this part before," I sighed. "But I'm not planning to assault them. I just wanted to learn whatever I can about them before we square off." Michael nodded. "Which is why we're standing out in the snow talking, I take it. I need whatever information you can give me, and I don't need another philosophical debate." Michael grunted. "I already got in touch with Father Forthill. He sent over a report on who we think might be in town with Tessa." I spent a couple of seconds feeling like an argumentative jerk. "Oh," I said, "thank you. That could help a lot." Michael shrugged. "We've learned to be wary of even our own intelligence. The Fallen are masters of deception, Harry. Sometimes it takes us centuries to catch one of them lying." "I know," I said, "but you must have something solid." "A little," he said. "We are fairly certain that Tessa and Imariel are the second eldest of the Denarians. Only Nicodemus and Anduriel have been operating longer." I grunted. "Are Tessa and Nicodemus rivals?" "Generally," Michael replied. "Though I suppose it bears mentioning that they're also husband and wife. Match made in hell, huh? Not that it seems to mean much to either of them. They very rarely work together, and when they do, it's never good. The last time they did so, according to the church's records, was just before the Black Plague came to Europe." "Plagues? The Nickelheads did that last time they were in town?" I shook my head. "You'd expect a different tune or two in a husband and wife act that had been running that long." "Variety is the key to a happy marriage," Michael agreed solemnly. His mouth quivered. "Nickelheads?" "I decided their name gave them too much dignity, given what they are. I'm correcting that." "Those who underestimate them generally don't survive it," Michael said. "Be careful." "You know me." "Yes," he said. "Where were we?"
"Plagues."
"Ah, yes. The Nickelheads have used plagues to instigate the most havoc and confusion in the past." I fought off a smile that threatened my hard-ass exterior as Michael continued. "It's proven a successful tactic on more than one occasion. Once a plague has gained momentum, there's almost no limit to the lives they can claim and the suffering they can inflict." I frowned and folded my arms. "Sonia said that Tessa preferred choosing eager subjects. I suppose over-talented ones." Michael nodded. "The Fallen who follow Imariel go through bearers very quickly. None of them are kind to those they bond with, but Imariel's crew are the monsters among the monsters.